This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Is there a war on the coal industry? In this playful exchange on the Bill Maher program, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency seems to have no problem with the question.
Actually, EPA is all about fighting against pollution and fighting for public health. That's exactly what this is.
Oh, great.
Exactly.
But for a coal miner in Appalachia raising two kids by himself, the question is much harder to talk about. He knows coal contains poisonous chemicals, but it's also his livelihood, and he's caught in the middle.
All these extra laws and rules and regulations, and it's just after a while, I mean, we, the people that's laid off, gets aggravated at the companies, but when you sit back and look at it, the companies gets aggravated at the people that's putting these laws and regulations in, when it's just like nitpicking.
Today, all of these questions will be before the U.S. Supreme Court, hearing arguments in a case against the Environmental Protection Agency brought by the state of Michigan, along with members of the coal and power industries suing the EPA over new emission standards. The EPA claims it has broad powers to regulate pollution standards. The industry claims that when the regulations would cost so much that the companies would go out of business, the power goes beyond what is, quote, appropriate and necessary under the law. An argument from the majority leader of the U.S. Senate.
Families are losing work because of government attacks on the coal industry. Communities are hurting.
That's Senator Mitch McConnell. And here are energy workers from Wyoming.
Honestly, the EPA makes things a whole lot harder for us to do most of our jobs.
It's a bureaucratic strong arm.
My great-great-grandfather settled most of this area. I'll tell you one thing, he would have shot half the EPA administrators, but that was what they did back then.
Richard Martin is editorial director of Navigant Research. He has a new book coming out next month called Coal Wars, The Future of Energy and the Fate of the Planet. He says this conflict could be both inevitable and unresolvable, whatever the outcome in the Supreme Court.
One thing I think is worth pointing out is that the reason the coal industry is slumping and really contracting, especially in this country, is not necessarily federal regulation. It's economic forces that are occurring over a very long period of time and are very difficult to contain or curtail.
So the coal industry is losing its leverage with the alternatives of fossil fuels like oil and particularly cheap natural gas.
That's right. Coal has always been the lowest price source of electricity, of fuel for making electricity. And once you lose that standing, particularly to shale gas, which has been at historic record lows over the last 12 months or so, then you get into the question of how much carbon do we want to put in the air? Which fuel do we want to use? And so utilities are in the position of fuel switching because it's often at least as cheap to burn natural gas and it's much cleaner.
Now, the coal industry would have us believe in some of the arguments that they're putting out in public relations that the Supreme Court is required to evaluate the cost of job losses versus the cost of theoretical health effects from the pollution of coal. Is that the way the law reads?
Well, no. There's nothing in the EPA charter that says they have to consider economic impacts. However, the Obama administration as a whole is well aware of the problems in the coal communities, and it has started a series of initiatives to try to bring new jobs and new forms of prosperity to these communities, but particularly in Appalachia, which is, you know, in some of the towns I traveled through last year for the book, there is nothing else going on there. Coal is really the only economy. It's been that way for decades, and it's very hard to sort of switch over in a short period of time. That's going to take many years.
Do the people in those communities believe there is a war on coal taking place?
Well, that's an interesting question because the answer is yes. But at the same time, there's a disconnect between those people's elected representatives in Congress, i.e. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, and the people who are actually on the ground, the mayors of these towns, the heads of economic development authorities who have to kind of look their neighbors in the eye every day. And they can see that the long-term future for coal is bleak and it's not going to change. And no amount of protesting, no amount of anger at the Obama administration is going to change that. So there's a lot of grassroots efforts going on to really try to bring about some other form of livelihood. again, it's not easy to do in these communities that have been dependent on coal for so long.
Is the $10 billion number that the coal industry is using to say this is how much the EPA's regulations will cost them, is that valid?
I don't think you could put a number on it. I mean, and it depends on who is being hit with that price tag, right? Is it the share price of Peabody Energy, the largest private sector coal mining company in the world? Or is it the town of Holmes Mill, Kentucky, where, you know, the unemployment rate is 25% and people's homes are being repossessed? I think you need to look at where those economic costs are really hitting, and as a country, as a society, where do we want to sort of spend that money and make those changes so that we can move to other forms of cleaner fuel long term?
Will the Supreme Court be allowed to consider, or will it decide to consider, the cost of the overall health effects, even if they aren't very specific cause and effect, like in the case of asbestos?
I don't think that's really the question before the Supreme Court. The question before the Supreme Court is going to be, has the EPA exceeded its mandated authority in trying to limit CO2 emissions from power plants? That's a fairly narrow question that has to do with the wording of the authorizing legislation for the EPA. So the Supreme Court, while it's not immune or deaf to the larger social consequences of the decisions it makes, at least nominally, it's deciding a relatively narrow constitutional question about the authority of this federal agency.
Is the argument that corporations are people too likely to come up here, in that if a corporation is threatened with going out of business as a result of government regulations, that the EPA will by necessity have overstepped its authority by denying a person rights?
I don't think so. I haven't parsed the legal arguments closely enough to know what the lawyers that are supporting the coal industry are actually going to argue before the Supreme Court. But again, I think that's a somewhat tangential question. And again, if you look at what's happening on Wall Street and in the investment community has already decided this question. In other words, you know, coal companies like Arch Coal and Peabody have lost 90% of their value over the last couple of years. And so, and as you know, there's a large divestment movement going on away from fossil fuels, particularly coal. So if you want to really answer some of these questions, I think you need to look where the money is going, and the money is definitely not going into coal anymore.
What are you looking for in these arguments here? What do you think could be surprising or suggest some particular outcome?
Well, there's an interesting position from Lawrence Tribe, the famous constitutional scholar from Harvard, who has actually been, he's argued in favor of environmental legislation in the past. But again, what he's saying is that the EPA has exceeded its authority, and they're actually pointing to a specific piece of wording in a specific part of the EPA's charter to say that this is not a viable or constitutional action from this federal agency. And so I don't know if there'll be any surprises. I think the arguments are fairly clear. The surprising thing could be how some of the the swing votes on the Supreme Court go, because in the past they have actually upheld the EPA's authority to regulate certain types of emissions under the Clean Air Act. Whether that's going to apply to carbon dioxide is really the question here.
How could this decision be historic?
The people in the coal industry, the coal executives that I've talked to, like Greg Boyce, the CEO of Peabody, are saying that this will mark the end of the coal industry in the United States. That might be an exaggeration, but certainly coming on top of the economic forces that are going on, it's going to make it very difficult for coal to stage a comeback in the coming decades.
Richard Martin is editorial director of Navigant Research. He has a new book coming out next month called Coal Wars: The Future of Energy and the Fate of the Planet. Thanks so much, Richard.
Thanks very much, John.